she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hey.
JP the Snuggle Monster.
Hey, hey.
And me, Sybil. We're here every Saturday taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can call Autoflex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234. Out of the area, autoflex.com if you're telephonically challenged. What a great day to shop online.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's going to be rain followed by rain followed by continuous rain for about the next 3 or 4 days, I think.
Add
Wait,
in
is it
a little
rain this weekend?
Yeah, like 80% today and 90% tomorrow. So I feel so bad for people at the Colonial this weekend.
They moved it to 100% tomorrow.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But my yard loves it.
Everything's green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the
Except
skies are gray.
It looks very Seattle in our town right now.
It feels very Seattle.
It does.
Yeah, I flew in from New York on Tuesday, and it's drier in New York City, which is an island, than it is here. The humidity here hit me when I walked in the tramway for the plane. It's crazy.
Coming up in the show, it's Indy 500 weekend, so we're going to talk a little of the history of the Indy 500, and you can also get that at the Autoflex Leasing Facebook page.
Yeah, you know, it was impossible really to bring that story because it's a photojournalism kind of thing.
Okay.
Lots of great pictures of the Indy 500 going all the way back to the very first races, and you can see that at autoflex.com/Facebook.
And do-it-yourself things to keep your car engine healthy. We'll get into that. Stuff even I could do?
Even
a girl can do it?
Even you.
Whoa. Okay, but first,
I just drive mine into the shop and say, do it. It's real easy for me to do.
Help me. But first, a lot of people have this app on their phone. It's called Waze, W-A-Z-E. And it's supposed to be like a navigational helper. It tells you when there's traffic. It tells you when there's popos.
It's an awesome app, actually.
Yeah,
are you a Wazer?
You know, I have it on my phone, but I have not figured out how to use it. I'll pull it up, and it'll have the traffic reports, but if I'm trying to look at where I'm going, it only shows the area right around me, and I haven't figured out how to get to where I'm going.
Okay, you just put in the address, because I'm a Wazer. I love Waze.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a little oval thing at the top, and you type in the address, and then you tell it to go. And if you hit, you can also get three different routes, and it'll tell you how many minutes on each route.
Yeah.
And it's crowdsourced so that it always knows really how long it's going to take to get there. If it tells you you're going to be driving 30 miles an hour for the next 3 miles, you're going to be driving 30 miles an hour for the next three. And,
yeah.
And here's the other thing. It'll show like there are 2,700 Wazers in your area right
yes.
now. So it crowdsources on that. It also does something else that I thought was pretty cool, but the police don't like it too well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that you can, in fact, identify where a police officer is sitting because they'll have this little Waze character with a police officer's hat on.
He's got the little aviators.
Yeah.
He's wearing the aviators.
No,
he's got
no
the little
aviators,
hat on.
But he has a little mustache in the hat.
So anyway.
From the uniform.
It's
perfect.
It's really, around Dallas, it's great because it'll tell you, if you're trying to get from point A to point B, it may take you a different way. And the reason it is because there's traffic there. There's
or
a wreck
accident.
Or there's something. It works really good for that, but the police do not like it, at least all of them don't, because it says it tells you where the police officers are. And it's become a safety concern with the recent attacks on police officers. Mm. They don't really want people to know exactly where they're sitting. So they're sort of banding together as a group and asking Google, which now owns Waze, to eliminate the ability to post the policeman's positions,
and they've
getting
been
into
successful
the bees there.
In doing something like this with other apps that are similar, haven't they?
Yeah, Apple had an app that you could actually mark DUI checkpoints on.
Oh,
and yes, and there was some governmental pressure, and Apple eliminated the ability to do that on that app. You know, Waze is not the only app though that does this because Escort Live, which is a $4.99 app that you can get online. It has it locates police officers if people mark them. Cobra iRadar, that's a free app. They do also. And then if you spend $49.99 and get a Garmin Nav unit, They've got something called stuff to watch out for. Yeah. And so it could be a construction site or it could be an officer writing tickets. Anyway, we'll see what's going to happen. Right now, there's now pushback from civil liberties groups because they say that that's public information. Anyone can see the police officer. So why do they mind it being marked? The police officers, on the other hand, say, you know, if you're thinking about robbing a bank and you can see where all the police officers are, you know how much time you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, see. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Here's how you counter that. Just have a bunch of the police officers go in there and just post random places where they are that they aren't.
Right.
Everybody would drive more safely if it just looked like there were
good thinking
police all up and down the road. And then the bad guys that want to hurt a police officer wouldn't really know exactly where they were.
Mm-hmm.
Hands at 10 and 2. Speed limit, less 2 miles an hour everywhere.
You know, it's interesting that officers are mad about this because I follow a lot of police departments on Twitter, and so many nowadays are posting where they are. Like, City of Dallas might even be one of them, but they'll say, today we're at I-30 and Hemp Hill, so watch your speed or whatever. I mean, they give people fair warning.
Well, you know, and we've got a number of police officers that listen to the show, we know from fan texts. So you guys might text in, how do you feel about this Waze thing? Is it a big problem for you? Do you care? Given that you give out your own information sometimes, how does that affect how you feel about Waze? So If you're an officer out there working, we'd love to hear from you. 43733, the Autoflex Leasing fan text.
I also like that Waze will notify you if there's an accident up ahead or if there's construction, so you know kind of which route to take.
It's a big deal.
That's the best part.
Yeah, it helps a lot. But how do you know that it's accurate? I mean, because some people might just go, well, I'm driving behind a slow person. I'm going to hit that there's an accident up here.
It's always been accurate for me anyway. I was actually driving from Dallas to Austin a few months ago, and it told me about a road closure. And it was, in fact, they had closed 35 down completely because of a bad accident. And if you didn't get off, it would take like 5 hours to drive to Austin.
Wow.
It was an hour and a half delay or something.
How is this not on everybody's list for distracted driving?
Waze?
The Waze?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. Well, you need a passenger manning.
Oh, that's the trick.
I think.
And there's a lot of apps that won't let you do anything while the car's moving.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of them.
Waze, if you just push that you're the passenger, then it'll let you do everything.
Yeah.
Little inside stuff.
I like it. Let's talk a little insurance, because Tammy is going to like this story. It's about low-mileage drivers.
Well, and so you have to really look into the stories you read online, especially automotive stories, to make sure that they're not a sponsored story. This one turns out is not a sponsored story, but it might be. Here's why. There are only one insurance company out there. There is only one insurance company out there that offers a discount that we know of for drivers that drive fewer miles. And the reality is drivers that drive fewer miles have less accidents.
Typically.
It's not magic. Typically. Yeah. Overall. There are some people that just run into stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
They are, you know.
But the less you're exposed to all the other cars and the traffic, then the fewer options you have to have the accident, right?
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah. So the less
like
time
me.
You're, the less time you're on the street, the fewer accidents you have. State Farm is the only major insurer that actually offers a reduced rate if you drive 5,000 miles a year or less, which is about a third of the average. Average driver drives about 15,000 miles. So, and this article was written saying basically, this was from the Consumers Federation of America, saying that insurers should consider the number of miles you drive and should give discounts if you drive 5,000 miles or less per year because you're going to have less claims.
How does the insurer know for sure how many miles a year you're driving?
Well, they actually put a little device on your car.
Oh.
Or they make you bring proof from service records, that kind of thing.
Mm.
Now, and here's the other thing. You know, there is an insurance company out there, Progressive, offers reduced rates for good driving. And the way they find out if you're a good driver is they put a little thing on your car that measures acceleration, measures stopping, measures how fast you drive, when you drive, which is very important. And they say they give discounts for people with really good driving habits. I would be really interested in hearing from folks if anyone out there has one of those on their car, if it saves them any money.
I would like to know, too, because I think I want to try that
Yeah.
Deal out.
It's called the snapshot.
Because I'm a very good driver.
So you would probably benefit from it.
I think I could. If there's really a benefit, I'll find out.
Yeah. So if you have Progressive Snapshot, fan text us at 43733. And we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Picker, JP, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053, or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. Bless you, Tammy. And as always, you can call Autoflex. What are the numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. Autoflex is one of the few places that you can actually work on a car over the phone. Our guys are used to that. We've been doing it for years. Most places you call and all they want to do is make you come in and sit down in front of them. That's the whole plan at Autoflex. If you'd like to work by phone, we'll be glad to do it. Or email or text even.
However, I think working in person, being a specialist, I really like dealing face-to-face with my clients. Mm-hmm. I felt like we could get a lot more accomplished.
Right.
I could look at their trade, they could look at the new car, and we could discuss all the options. But that's just me.
Yeah, some people like it and some people don't. I'm more of an internet kind of person, but mm-hmm. I have done two of my cars through Autoflex, and I did both of them over the phone, which is super easy because then you're not waiting for an email back and you're not, you know, you didn't send one and then you're like, oh, I forgot to say this, let me send another, and then you're cramming their inbox with stuff.
You know, it's according to what people want, and a lot of people, the biggest objection people have when they get a car is how long it takes them to get the car. And the average time is like 4.5 hours.
Yuck.
Yeah. And so, and new car dealers are absolutely trying to cut that down, but their basic system is set up in such a way that it makes it very difficult for them to do that. Number one, not hashing out a lot of the things over the phone or over the email before you get there. Because you could get all of that work done without being there, all the background work. So when you got there, they'd know who you are. They'd know what they had to work with for your credit and for your income and that kind of thing. And you know what kind of car you want, so you could have communicated that to them. They can have that car set up. What a genius way to do business, sort of like we do it at Autoflex.
I do want to say this, though, when I think about the time involved to get the car. Let's go back to this is like the second largest purchase or expense that most of us have.
Behind your house.
Behind the house. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a house, it is the most expensive or usually rent, but that's not something you're making a permanent decision on. Or all right, so it's a big decision, and I feel like maybe you want to deal with a professional who can look out for you, who can help you find all the little cracks in the sidewalk, you know, that you don't want to step in.
I agree, but if you buy a house, it doesn't take 4.5 hours to go buy a house.
No, it takes months usually to pick
one. No, but you do all of that work yourself in advance. When you actually go in to buy the house, it takes you 30 minutes.
Right.
Right? So that's the difference, is they do all of the work beforehand.
No, I know. I'm talking – that's the signing. I'm talking about the decision process.
Well,
that's
decision
the biggest
process
part of
– It is, but you can still drive cars and make up your mind later and come back in. You don't have to spend 4.5 hours sitting someplace.
No, I agree.
Meeting a bunch of people you didn't plan on meeting.
Here's our point and counterpoint, ladies and gentlemen. We do make it simpler by starting the process on the phone or via internet, for sure. But then at some point you need to test drive the car. I'd like to know, you know, for people who do their stuff on the internet, at what point do you test drive the car? What's the bigger decision for you? Do you do all your research online and narrow your field down that way? Do you have to find out what it's really going to cost? Do you like to narrow your field down that direction? Or would you rather go meet somebody and decide if you like them and trust them to help you? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're looking at different brands. You know, if you're looking at a Honda and a Chevrolet and a... How would you decide? Would you go visit each dealership and test drive the car, then go home and think about it and negotiate? What would most people do?
Well, that's a tough thing, I think, is getting out. Once you've gone into a place, they don't want you to leave. And so it becomes
That's why
it
the
becomes
4.5 hours.
Yeah. Okay, so Autoflex Leasing fan text. My dad has used Snapshot before, and it saved him $10 a month.
And that's going back to the insurance.
Yes. Back to the exactly
where
they put
available.
The plug in your car. Another Autoflex Leasing fan text. A friend of my sister's has one of those, and it's too much trouble for minimal savings. So who knows?
Well, I guess, I mean, maybe to one person, $10 a month is minimal savings, and maybe to another person, $10 a month is worth it.
And I wonder how they read that. Do you have to go back in and let them take it out of your car and plug it in like a flash drive?
I think it's wireless.
Yeah,
I
bet they can just tap into your system.
That's what you want, somebody tapping into your system. All right, another Autoflex Leasing fan text. The app, okay, so this is back to the Waze app. The app won't be accurate for troopers because they do moving patrols. They don't sit in one spot. Aha.
That's interesting. I feel like I've seen them sitting on the side of the road before.
Well, but they'll move. They don't stay in one spot very long.
Okay.
The first time they catch a speeder, they move down the road, and then they stop there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Lots more Waze texts coming in. I'm a Waze user and I love it. I travel a lot for work and it does work well. That's from Ben in Ennis, or like I like to call him, Bennis.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's what his friends call him, Bennis.
Okay, speaking of mileage and looking at mileage and that kind of thing, Oregon is considering a new tax to help keep their roads repaired. They've used gasoline tax for years. In fact, they tax gasoline at 30 cents a gallon. Texas taxes gasoline. All states tax gasoline. And the tax from the gasoline goes to repair the roads and to build new roads and that kind of thing. Well, guess what? Cars run more efficiently now, and a lot of people drive EVs and hybrids that don't use near as much gasoline. So the states are running low on tax money to keep the roads repaired and to build new roads. Oregon's solution is for people to pay by the mile rather than tax gasoline.
A consumption tax, basically.
It is a consumption tax. So the more miles you drive, the more tax you pay. And the way they did this is sort of interesting, because what they did was they decided to tax at a certain rate per mile. And at that rate per mile, they can get the tax from the drivers every year. And it comes out to $225 a year. I looked at that exact same figure on gasoline, and at 30 cents a gallon, if you drive 15,000 miles a year, guess what it comes out to? $225 a year. So they're taxing all cars at the same rate that they would get from a car that drives 15,000 miles a year based on the gasoline tax. There is some pushback from EV drivers, and that's interesting, I thought. They're saying, look, we bought an EV. We don't use gasoline. We're not paying anything.
Yeah. They use the roads.
But they do use the roads.
And that's what it's for.
Oh. Okay, that makes sense. Because at first I thought that's not fair to people who buy economy cars because they're trying to save money and they have a long commute, but they don't want to pay a lot in gas. But yeah,
they're
that does make sense.
They're still using the roads, and that money is used to build roads, repair, maintain. Look at all the potholes we have, and I've seen all kinds of new stuff. There has to be money to fix that stuff. And guess what? The less money they have, the longer it takes to get those repairs done, and then the more accidents or damage to other cars happen, and it's a vicious cycle.
It
so
is.
We all have to pay. We all have to participate if we want the roads. Whether you drive a car or ride the bus, guess what? They both roll on a road. So you got to pay for it.
I think the interesting thing for me here was that there was pushback from the EV drivers, because it's like, well, I should be exempt because I drive an EV. Well, guess what? You still drive on the road, just like Tammy said.
Exactly. EV drivers are special snowflakes.
Maybe. I like that.
Since we're talking EVs, let's talk about pre-owned EVs.
Which are a bargain right now.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because nobody's buying them. The way that they sold a lot of EVs, I'm going to mention specifically the Nissan Leaf because it may be the biggest bargain out there. The way they sold them originally was they had to put incentives on them, and they did it through a leasing program. So you could lease a Leaf for 3 years for a very, very low payment. And they did that to sell more Leafs. Now, why would they need to sell more Leafs? Because in some states, specifically California is the one I'm thinking of, you have to sell X number of electric cars or you can't sell your gasoline cars there.
Oh.
It's the law. So they've got to sell these cars, these electric cars. So now they sell them. And they put them out on 3-year leases. Guess what? That was in 2012. They're coming back. Now they're coming back, and they're coming back in big numbers. They were a bargain on that lease program they had, coming back in really big numbers, but people don't necessarily want to buy an electric vehicle right now. Gasoline's less expensive. Mm-hmm. They're a little worried maybe about replacing batteries and stuff. The car's a 3-year-old car. Mm-hmm. It's got 50,000 miles on it, that kind of thing. So they're not really selling. The law of supply and demand controls what your car costs you.
If or what your car's worth.
Or what your car's worth if you're in a pre-owned car. So there's not a whole lot of demand, and the supply is growing. If you're wanting to drive an EV, a used Leaf is a bargain right now. In fact, they've dropped about 10% in price in the last 4 months, which
wow.
is a big drop. A big drop.
So what is the average?
They're running about 10.9 wholesale.
Wow.
For a 2012.
That's
and
cheap.
that was a vehicle that was $37,000 3 years ago.
Talk about losing your value.
Talking about depreciation here. Well, but the good news is if you're wanting to buy one, it's a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leased one, you didn't have to worry about it. Because when you lease, you don't have to worry about the resale.
Right. You that, give it back.
That has saved so many people over the years. If the market changes on your car, you don't have to worry about it. You just turn the keys in, which is what all those people did with those leases. Had they not done that, they'd be getting 10.9 for that car instead of what it should be worth if it were a gas car somewhere around probably $23,000, $24,000. So there's a couple of other cars worth mentioning too. Economy cars right now, not necessarily – well, I hate to say economy because it's a mind thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that like an econo box? No, good cars, but cars that get great gas mileage – people aren't as concerned with gas mileage right now. So if you're looking for a Honda Civic, good time to get one. A pre-owned Honda Civic, pricing is really good on those right now. Maybe you want a Lexus ES. Pricing is great on pre-owned ESs. Again, supply and demand, big supply, not that much demand for those cars right now. If you're looking for a used SUV, you're going to pay a premium for it.
Because gas is cheaper. It's really bizarre. When gas was high,
mm-hmm.
a Honda Civic was bringing a premium.
Right.
And a Tahoe, you had to beg somebody to take one. And now it's the reverse. It really does all hinge on money.
Yeah.
You know, and the overall cost. There were a lot of people driving Tahoes that when gas prices went up, they could no longer afford it because they were living too close to the edge anyway. So mm-hmm. when the gas went, you know, every time I fill up, it's $100.
A couple of other things worth noting. The BMW 528, if you look at the 2012 model BMW 528, that car has dropped $2,648 in 4 months.
Wow.
And the BMW 3 Series, same kind of drop on those cars. So small luxury cars are a bargain right now. Electric cars and hybrids are a bargain right now in the pre-owned market. The other thing to look out for is anytime you see one of these really aggressive leasing programs on a particular vehicle and you're considering that vehicle, lease it, don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's 100 zillion of them coming back off lease like there are with some of these cars, your resale value is going to be poor. There's going to be more supply than there is demand. So, again, if you bought a 528 in 2012, you're not real happy right now. If you leased one, you're a very happy camper.
Buy used, lease new.
Buy used, lease new. Buy used, lease new. Okay.
Is it time for a break?
Well, it's just good financial advice, okay?
It is.
It is, but before we go, I've got two quick AutoFlex Leasing fan texters because we're talking about possibly taxing people per mile that you drive rather than gasoline taxes to help pay for the roadways. One person says, that's what toll roads are for. That's a good point because the money that you pay for tolls does go back toward the road and the highways. And another person says, per mile isn't fair. A Prius doesn't put the same impact on the roads as a truck does.
It doesn't matter. It still uses the road. And here's what people don't really think about. The states don't care. They have got to have the money.
Right.
Yeah.
So they don't really care if you're driving a Prius or an 18-wheeler. 18-wheelers pay a lot of tax, by the way.
They
just need the money to keep the roads up. And you're seeing this more in states where they have low populations or where they've had populations leave. Michigan's a good example. A lot of people moved out of Michigan.
High retirement.
They don't have the money that they need in the state coffers. So Michigan, Indiana, which is another state which is broke basically, and then Oregon, Washington, and California, those states, they're running low on taxes. Sometimes they got a lot of money, but sometimes they spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They got to figure out a way to keep these roads built.
All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blessingame, Tammy Picker, JP, a.k.a. Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053. Almost gave out my personal cell phone again. I know, because my number's real close to this number. And you can also send us an AutoFlex Leasing fan text, which is 43733. And as always, you can and should call AutoFlex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234. Out of the area, AutoFlex.com. If you don't want to get out in this messy weather, you can start everything there. You can actually set up a test drive at AutoFlex.com. So if you wanted to drive a Chevrolet, a Ford, and a Mazda, we could set them side by side. Also, if you want to find out what your trade-in's worth, one of the most valuable things you can get at AutoFlex.com is a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in. You can get that in the comfort of your easy chair at home. All you got to do is fill in the blanks, and AutoFlex will send you a Black Book appraisal on your trade-in.
Got it. We were talking about a new policy where you'd have to be taxed by the mile that you drive instead of on gasoline, and somebody said 18-wheelers do pay by the mile.
Yes, they do.
That is a lot, but I'm sure your company pays for it.
Well, the people that buy that product pay for it.
Okay.
Everyone pays for something. So when you see a company pay taxes, or when you see a company lose, like when you see a company lose a multi-zillion-dollar lawsuit and they have to pay that fine, they simply raise the price of their product.
Yep.
Somebody's got to pay it. So we pay it. So whenever things go up, no matter what it is, we pay it if we're consumers.
Boo.
Oh, that's
boo.
Just how it works.
It's the way it works. Okay. But I agree. Boo.
AutoFlex Leasing Fantex. Can I get the same rebates on a lease that you can get on a new, like Chevy, that has over $10,000 off on MSRP? Yes. The thing you got to consider is sometimes those ads you see are a bit – they don't disclose fully what you have to do to get that money off. Sometimes it requires that you be a retired service person. There's a lot of things like that that are advertised. The FCC is looking at those ads right now. They're considering whether or not they should make them print disclosures to say you have to be able to qualify for this, this, and this to get that. But the truth is you can get any kind of rebate you see out there when you lease your car from AutoFlex because we get all those rebates. The difference is sometimes we get ones you don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about this at the beginning of the show, but let's get into it. Keeping your car engine healthy. These are everyday things that you can do at home.
Yeah, you know, your car's engine is, in fact, the heart of your car. And if you keep it running great, it'll run great for years. In fact, new engines now, the cars that are being built now, the engines last for 250,000 miles or more. If you go back to the 60s and 70s, you'd get 100,000, 125,000 miles out of an engine. It was pretty well done.
Yeah.
But new engines run better. The technology behind them is much better. You just have to keep your car running good. And maintain it in order to be able to capitalize on that. And people are keeping their cars longer. The average age of a car right now is over 11 years, if you look at the average age of cars on the roads in America. So the first thing, check your oil regularly. Make sure your car has plenty of oil. The best way to do it, run the engine for at least 15 minutes, park on a level surface, and then pull the dipstick out, wipe it, put it back in, pull it back out. You should be able to see oil between the hash marks on the dipstick. Pretty simple stuff. If it's low, when it gets a quart low, put a quart of oil in it. Always do that. And don't overfill your oil. It puts strain on your seals and it goose up the circulation of the oil in the engine. So don't overfill your oil. Also, always change it on time. And here's the other thing. The new recommendations on a lot of cars say wait 20,000 miles to change your oil stuff. Don't. The more often you change it, the cleaner it stays. I actually change my oil every 3,000 miles. The factory recommendation is 7,500. I do it every 3 just because I know that that's going to make that engine run longer.
Mm-hmm.
Oil filters. When you change your oil filter.
Obviously.
Your oil filter has got tons of gunk and metal shavings and stuff all inside it. You got to get that changed when you change your oil in order to have clean oil
in
your
car. So it continues to be a filter?
Yes.
Instead of just a plug?
Yes, exactly.
So that's not included with the oil change?
It is if you tell them to.
Okay.
Yeah. Air filters are next. Make sure your air filter is changed. If you don't know where it is, look in your owner's manual. Fuel filters?
It won't be in the owner's manual. It'll be in the engine
in the car.
But the owner's manual will Sorry, I just had to.
Okay.
Owner's manual should tell you where to find it.
Moving right along. If you have a fuel filter, again, you can check your owner's manual. You should change out your fuel filter somewhere around 30,000 miles. This is the suggested for most cars. Here's the one people miss. Everyone has a transmission filter in their car. That filter should be changed after 50,000 miles and then every 2 years or 25,000 miles after that. And if you've ever seen what happens when you pull down a transmission pan, it's crazy how much metal is in that pan. Your transmission shaves off metal as it works. That's how they wear themselves out. If you keep that fluid clean and you change that filter out like you're supposed to, your transmission will last as long as your engine does. Finally, when you're doing oil, when you're doing transmission, when you're doing any of those things, get the factory specifications. Getting thicker doesn't necessarily mean better. I know of people that have put heavier grades oil in because they think it protects their car better. It also affects the circulation, so you have to be really, really careful on that.
Because the engine oil is like the blood.
Exactly.
If the engine is the heart, so you got to think about what's pumping through all the lines and the
And finally, you've got a serpentine belt in most cases on the front of your engine. It runs a lot of the components of the engine. It turns. And you also have a timing belt. The timing belt is on the inside of the engine in the front. Make sure that your serpentine belt is in good shape because when it breaks, you're done.
Happened to me once.
You're stopped wherever
you are.
No go.
No go.
Exactly. And your timing belt, if it breaks, will just ruin your engine. It can bend your valves and stuff. So your timing belt, generally around 75,000 miles, that's the suggested. You don't want to wait until it breaks. You want to get it replaced at the factory suggested interval. And your serpentine belt, you can see it, check it, make sure it's not worn. If it is, replace it or you'll be stuck wherever you are.
Okay, I have a girl question because I don't know where any of these filters are and these crankshafts and all this stuff that you're talking about, serpentine belts. So if I take it in, is this part of the oil change, aside from the oil filter that I already asked about, or is this part of a tune-up or what?
They're gonna tell you if you need those things.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and you can be very specific and ask about them. And if you want to be really adventurous, you can Google it. You can Google your make and model of your car and ask, where is this, and it'll tell you.
That's way.
You can look on YouTube for almost anything.
That's true.
Too.
Yeah.
They'll probably tell you how to change your own fuel filter.
Way over my head.
Video. I know.
Let's take a second and talk about something that may be near and dear to a lot of listeners out there right now. Is your car flood damaged? Because if it is, there's a couple of things you should know. Okay. First of all, flood damaged cars tend not to repair well if the water gets very high. It can ruin seat motors. They're set very low, so if the water gets into the car, your seat motors get ruined pretty darn quick. If it gets up to the dashboard, your car's done. I don't care what they tell you. If your dash gets underwater, your car is absolutely done.
That's true. That's definitely true. We went through a flood, and the water was up to the dash, and not one of those cars was salvaged. They all were carted away.
Yeah.
Total them off after that?
Yeah, yeah. It's the only thing you can do.
Electrical system's fried.
You have to consider insurance companies are always trying to keep their costs down. So sometimes you have to get outside help. There's a lot of different ways to handle it. But if your car was underwater, you're not going to get your car back. Or if you do, you're not going to like it too much in a year or two. Things like the doors can rust out on the inside. You know, the panels, the lower panels in the car, they'll rust from the inside out. Because they're not really designed to be submerged.
No, right. You'd have to take the whole thing apart. It just wouldn't work. It's too expensive.
So
don't drive into high water.
Yeah, that's the first thing. Never drive into high water. And the second thing is, if you have flood damage like that and you need some help, give us a call at Autoflex. We work with people that have those kind of issues all the time. The guys at Autoflex are not like car salesmen. They've been there for years and years. They know how to do all the stuff. They know how to guide you and work with you. So if you got that kind of problem, give us a call. We'll be glad to work with you.
We'll be back with the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Picker, JP, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053 or send us an AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car, give AutoFlex a shout. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com, where you can do pretty well everything except drive the new car away.
Very true. Before we get to our AutoFlex Leasing fan text, I have a quick client letter that I want to read. This is another satisfied AutoFlex Leasing customer, and her name is Soccer Mom Paige. She says, Russell Kenny was our sales representative. We used him to get a GMC Yukon XL. Then we got my husband's Chevy Silverado LTZ. We started having problems with my Yukon, and he and the sales manager did us right and got me into a Chevy Tahoe. I highly recommend Russell Kenny at the Arlington location of AutoFlex Leasing. Thanks, Soccer Mom Paige.
Russ is a really, really good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple of AutoFlex Leasing fan texts. Do auto manufacturers still use timing chains instead of timing belts? I don't know. I think most of them have gone to timing belts. In the old days, they used chains because they couldn't manufacture the belt out of the material they have, the materials they have now. So I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not a mechanic. No one has ever told me, AutoFlex Leasing fan text, that I sound like Larry Burkett, but I guess I'm glad I do. AutoFlex Leasing fan text, our band is leaving on tour. This is real, folks. On Tuesday, thanks for all the advice on how to keep our van safe. Going to miss listening to y'all's show, but we'll be back in a month. All right, we'll look for you when you get back.
You can download a podcast.
Yes, you can download a podcast.
Yes.
I don't remember the name of the band, but we all wish you luck, and we hope you have a great tour.
Mm-hmm. Another AutoFlex Leasing fan texter. We're talking about how you can get rebates at AutoFlex because people think, oh, well, if I go to – they specialize in leasing. I'm not going to be able to get a rebate if I'm not purchasing. And you can, in fact, get a rebate. And he asks, is there a certain time of year when rebates are better on certain cars, for example, a Lexus?
You know, it's according to how well the car sells. When you see gigantic rebates on cars, that means they're not selling that well. That's how they sell the cars that they're not moving that well. No one likes to give money away, especially companies, right?
Right.
So when you see a giant rebate, it means the car is not selling that well. They've manufactured a bunch of them. They're sitting on the lots. They're slow. So they put big rebates on them to help move those cars.
So the best way for you to figure that out is just kind of watch with the sales. Check out the news. You know, how are they doing? Are their sales up or down? They always have a big push at the end of the year. Everybody has a huge push at the end of the year because the dealers owning those vehicles have to pay an inventory tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd rather get rid of the cars before the end of the year. So I say just choose the car you really, really want and then call AutoFlex to make it affordable for you.
And that's the other thing. Since we lease all makes and models, we actually can tell you about rebates on all makes and models.
Right.
Yeah. So, and we've got a new feature that we're going to have that's going to be able to tell us every rebate available on every car, no matter the manufacturer, that you could possibly qualify for. Did you know that there's a Dairyman's rebate?
No.
Yeah, you can get $500 off a Jeep Grand Cherokee if you're a dairyman.
If you're a milkman?
A dairy farmer.
Dairy farmer.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So there's all kinds of really great rebates out there that a lot of people aren't aware of. You can give us a call at AutoFlex. We'll be glad to work that through that with you.
We also went over quick things that you can do to keep your car running for as long as it possibly can. And if you missed that list, you can go to AutoFlex.com, click the Facebook page, and we've got it posted there. But this fan texter says, I've had impeccable service on my 2001 F-250 7.3-liter power stroke, and I'm up to 425,000 miles.
Love those diesels.
Good job.
Wow, that might be the record. I know sometimes we'll get people who've reached like 250K, but 425?
There's some million-mile cars out there.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive. Okay. Well, let's get into what are we talking about here, David?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about a call I got last week from a customer. They said that they were they wanted to know if we needed a deposit to move forward and help them with a car. And so we talked about it a little bit. If you've made your mind up and someone has got to go buy a car to help you, then they're going to want a deposit. That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to ensure that once they buy that car, they have a customer for it. If you're just starting to talk to somebody and they ask you for a deposit, I would run because there's really no reason. That'd be like driving up front of the grocery store and having some guy come out and say, give us your money and then you can come in.
Wait, y'all's grocery stores don't do that?
No. I think if someone is asking you for a deposit, it's the timing. If you're at the end and you've picked out a car and they've got to go buy it, That's one thing.
Of course.
If it's the first conversation or second conversation that you're having on the telephone, then they're trying to limit your ability to go somewhere else or to find a better deal. And you have to just realize the difference, because at one point it's valid because it's a good business decision on their part. At another point, it's not valid and it's a bad decision on your point, on your part, if you actually give them money, because you haven't secured a car, they haven't bought a car, they haven't gone out and spent any money. So why would you give them a deposit? Anyway, I gave that advice to our customer. And then he's working with one of our guys right now. We don't need a deposit to help work through the different options you've got.
That's true. But I'll tell you, when I have asked for deposits, when the black-on-black Tahoe or the white-on-black Tahoe
good point.
Is in high demand and short supply. I've had this happen several times, and some of my specialists learned from my old mistakes. But the issue would be I'd locate one, because mm-hmm. it wouldn't be anywhere close by. And by the time I found it, wanted to call my client back, tell them about it, and then they said, yes, I'll take it. When I call back, it's already sold.
Oh.
And so I learned, give me a deposit so that as soon as I find the car, and we already know these are all the things that you're willing to accept,
mm-hmm.
so you give me your deposit, and when I find it, I'm going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That way we don't keep losing vehicles, because if by the time you call me back 3 hours later, it's gone.
Yeah, that, on high-demand cars, that's absolutely true, so, and on order cars.
Oh,
if
definitely
you have to order
a car.
You got to have a deposit to do that.
Or an odd color. If somebody mm-hmm. wants me to go get a green Challenger, I'm going to have money.
I think his point was he was two conversations on the phone in with these folks,
right.
and they were asking him to send him money. I would never do that. I mean, that's like some guy online saying, send me your money and I'll be glad to help you. Well, no. I'll find someone that doesn't need my money first.
My cousin's a Nigerian prince.
Oh, sure.
I get those all the time.
Right. And I'm the beneficiary.
And they
I'm not
haven't
sure
paid
why.
Out yet. I keep making these deposits. Nothing is ever coming. I'm not a millionaire yet.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. If you have a timing chain, don't believe the story. They never wear out. They do. And that's exactly right. Yeah, timing chains, timing belts, they all wear out. They're mechanical.
Everything wears out.
Indeed.
Including
has to be
us. Okay. Here's the good news. If you're driving a car, it's costing you less right now. Why? Mainly because gasoline is less. That's the big thing. But secondly, car loans and leases are less. Interest rates are at an all-time low right now. So if you're in the market, if you're out there thinking about a car, it's not a bad time to get it. You're going to get a great rate based on your credit. And fuel costs $1 a gallon less than it did a year ago. That's a huge savings. We're talking about saving, the average American $147 just on insurance cost. So you've got insurance costs that are low. You've got fuel costs that are low. You've got interest rates that are terribly low. It's not a bad time to get a car.
There you have it.
Yep.
Got another quick letter from a client, and this is from Nick in Garland. He's already had one Autoflex leasing vehicle, and he writes and says, just want to tell you guys I'm looking forward to getting my next vehicle from y'all, and it's your show on 105.3 that brought me in. Well, thank you, Nick. Hope you're listening this morning. Hard to find good people these days, and you can definitely trust Autoflex. I felt that the minute I walked through the door.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's really nice,
Nick.
And he listens.
Yeah.
I have to say, I love going to work every day. We have a great group of people. We call it our Autoflex family. It feels very much like that. It's fun.
Yeah.
We all give each other a hard time, just like siblings would, but we all support each other
mm-hmm.
like family. So we want all of you to become part of our Autoflex family. So
that's
give us
right.
a call if you need a car.
We have a text on here. I'm not going to go through it. It's really long, but he's gotten his last three cars from the same guy. And that's pretty common with us. The same guys always work there. They don't leave.
Right.
So you can get your last three or four cars from one guy, or you can get your next three or four cars and know who you're dealing with every
or
time.
Or lady.
We
have some ladies.
I was speaking universally.
You can be part of the Autoflex family. Join David Autoflex, Tammy Autoflex, JP Autoflex, and Sybil Autoflex. Those are our names. All right. We are about out of time, but if you want to call Autoflex, the phone numbers again, 817 or 972 or 888-234-1234. You can also go online to autoflex.com to get the ball rolling, and we'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. For David Autoflex and Tammy Autoflex, this has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. And Tammy, what do you want to say?
Celebrate Memorial Day. Thank you all for keeping us safe and free. Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle.